council should have priority and have preeminence. And to be honest, I'm sympathetic to King Hezekiah because, you know, sometimes I imagine if I was in his shoes, what decision would I have made? And, you know, I hope that if I had God's counsel, that I would wait on him, wait for God to provide the perfect solution. But the reality is, you know, looking back at my own life, you know, a lot of times when there is stress, you know, I have to make quick decisions, I rely on myself. So there's, you know, this morning I just have really three reflections to just bless and encourage each and every one of us. So the first reflection is to remember the character of God. So in verse 18, which I, you know, think is fantastic, is, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. It's actually an incredible statement. Because again, what is the context? What is the context? During, if you study the book of Isaiah, the first half of the book of Isaiah is all about Judah constantly falling short of God's standards. They're constantly rebellion. They're constantly in disobedience. But despite this, God still says he is waiting to be gracious to you, to Judah. He still wants to show mercy. He still wants to bless Judah. It reminds me of the prodigal son, you know, which we just, P. Sam shared about a few weeks ago. And it's really the image of a father. It's a, you know, he has a son, you know, the son doesn't listen, the son runs away, the son is completely disobedient. But the image is, you know, a father who's still standing, you know, at the door of his home, waiting for the son to come back. Every day, he's just standing there, waiting for the son to come back. And when the son finally shows up, you know, as P-Sam preached many times, you know, the father's running to the son, trying to, he wants to show that grace and mercy on his son. And how about us? How many times do we fall short? And despite, you know, all our shortcomings, we have a loving Father who wants to be gracious to you, who wants to show compassion to us. And this is the foundation of why we wait. You know, we're not waiting on a moody boss, a unreliable partner. We're waiting for a God who is longing for us to come home to him. He's waiting for us to turn back to him, to completely rely on him. Because he knows we're not perfect, but despite that, he wants to have grace and mercy upon us. So the second reflection for this morning is the posture of waiting, how to wait, basically. So in Isaiah chapter in verse 15, it says, "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." So what is God saying to Judah in order to be saved from the threat of Assyria? How are they supposed to wait? There's basically four elements in this verse. The first is returning, or in some translations it actually says repentance. So it's turning away from self-reliance and human schemes. Secondly, it's the element of rest. So instead of frantically striving, frantically trying to figure out what to do, it's to rest upon him. The third element is quietness. You have to silence all the noise of anxiety. And fourthly is trust, to place your confidence in God's character. So again, the four elements in verse 15 is returning or repentance, rest, quietness, and trust. So we see that waiting on God is not doing nothing at all. It's actually, but it's also not about control. It's about active dependence on God. That is waiting. John Piper in an interview said that people waiting on God has a spirit of moment-by-moment dependence on the ever-arriving future grace of God, like a river coming towards you moment by moment. 2 weeks ago at Sunday, when I was leading a Sunday school class, I shared a little bit about Addie's situation with the kids, and I asked the question, because we were talking a little bit about waiting. I was like, "Hey, so why do you think my family has to wait for God to fully heal Addie?" And, you know, the kids get brilliant answers. You know, they're like, oh, Uncle Marcus, they're testing you. They're preparing you. It's like, good answer. And it's true, right? It's, you know, God puts you through a season of waiting so he can refine you. He can teach you to have confidence and faith in his timing. But, you know, as we know, waiting is a bit, it's hard. We don't want to wait because I think sometimes we feel like waiting is its weakness, or, you know, we're not being responsible. We're not doing anything about it. And, you know, another point of it is that it really tests our faith in God. And so because of all that, we try to control the outcome. We try to do something about it. And, you know, this is a struggle that I've had to, you know, both my wife and I had to really face with Addie's situation because, you know, after she came out of the ICU, you know, whenever we speak to the doctor's always like, oh, you need to do this. You need to do this quickly. And, you know, I'm so grateful for all the doctors who have helped Addie in her journey because, you know, without the doctor's help, you know, we wouldn't even be here. But, you know, sometimes, you know, they do give advice that, you know, wife are like, you know, we don't think it's the right thing to do when we pray to God about it, but it's difficult because, you know, you have, you know, very well-meaning, experienced professionals telling you, you need to do this and do this quickly, and on the other hand, God is saying something different to us. And what I guess encourages me, or, you know, what the Bible reminds me of is, you know, it's important that we wait for God to move before we move. I'm reminded a lot of times of Abraham. You know, Abraham is promised by God that look at the sky and see if you can count the stars, that's how many descendants you will have. But from that promise to when Isaac is born, there's a 25-year gap. There's a 25-year gap. And we also know that Abraham actually can't wait for 25 years, and he takes it into, him and Sarah takes it into their own hands. And, you know, obviously there's complications when Hagar and Ishmael then show up. So if you are in a season of waiting, you know, I just encourage you to keep going to him. Keep returning, keep repenting, resting, inquiring your heart and trusting in him. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Because that's what has kept my wife and I going. It's thanks to you, everyone here this morning. And the third reflection I just want to share is the promise for those who wait on God. So from verses 19 to 26, these are some of the promises that God drew out to us. So the first one, verse 19, is, for people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. So the first thing is, he will answer your cry if you wait on him. Second one, verse 20 to 21, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ear shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. So the second thing is, he will be your teacher. God will be your teacher. Thirdly is verse 23, he will give rain for the seed with which you sow the ground, and the bread and the produce of the ground, which will be rich and plenteous. In that day, your livestock will graze in large pastures. So the third is, he will bring renewal and fruitfulness. And finally, the fourth thing, which is actually verses 27 to 33, which we didn't cover today, is that simply, he will bring justice. He will bring justice. So he will answer your cry. He will be your teacher. He'll bring renewal and fruitfulness, and he will bring justice. God promises response, guidance, provision, healing to those who wait on him. But these promises all hinge on trust. To trust that, you know, God will do it, we have to surrender to him, and we can't rely on our form of Egypt. And whatever you're waiting for, direction, healing, or breakthrough, God is waiting to fulfill his perfect plan when you fully rely on him. So as we move into time of worship, I'd like to invite Nikki. Let's recap what happens to Judah when Assyria eventually invades in 701 BC. So eventually Assyria does come invade. They conquer 46 Judean cities and besieges Jerusalem. The Egyptian alliance, not effective at all. And Hezekiah eventually repents. We see this in 2 Kings 19, when he realizes there's no choice but for him to just completely rely on the Lord. God was waiting for Judah to learn to completely rely on him, to return and rest on him. And we know what happens, right? We see God's justice. You know, he sends the angels, sends the angel, wipes out the Syrian army. I guess while, you know, as we go into time of worship, the reflection point is, what or who is your Egypt? What or who do you look for help when you have difficulties, issues over finances, relationships, work, or career? Just spend some time to surrender that to God, so that, and just wait on Him. Remember, while we wait on God's timing, God is also waiting on us to trust Him completely. Again, verse 18 says, "Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore He exalts Himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him."
Come breathe in me, I will rise.
Father God, we just thank you again for this word this morning. We just pray that in times of stress, in times of difficulty, in times of waiting, we'll have courage to wait on you, that we'll trust in your goodness, we'll trust in your perfect timing. We thank you for the lesson of Judah. We thank you, you know, you set out an example of what happens when we don't wait on you. So, Father, I just pray that, you know, it'll be a lesson that we learn, that we'll be able to carry out in our lives. We thank you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's come to the front as we go into time for prayer.